Well, it is great to be with you today at Timberlake. As Pastor Ben said, my name is Doug, and my family and I attend Timberlake Issaquah, and I am really excited to be with you today. You know, this week, the former football player Herschel Walker made the news. Some of us remember his playing days. He was the 1982 Heisman Trophy winner, and he went on to have a long and productive professional career. Well, this week, in an interview, Walker said that he feels that he could step onto an NFL field today and play at age 52. Now, he made it clear that he wasn't seriously considering doing this, but a couple of years ago, when he turned 50, he actually did seriously consider a return to the NFL. And this is just one of many in a long line of these stories of athletes who played a very high level for a long time and really struggle with the idea of stopping, of letting go. And the reality is, it's not just athletes who think that retirement is a difficult time to think about the future. People who have really invested their lives into their work, into being the best professional that they can be, get to a point as they approach retirement where they start thinking not only, what am I going to do, but really the question of, who am I? In other words, they ask a question of calling. And of course, retirement is not the only time that we ask questions about calling. In fact, calling involves things that we're thinking about all throughout our lives in many different stages. I mean, just think about a few scenarios. Think about a person who is in a house kind of strewn with baby toys, standing at a diaper-changing table. And this person is thinking, 2 years ago, I was a rising star in my company, and now I'm changing my fourth diaper this morning. Is this what God wants for my life? Or someone else, maybe sitting in an office on a Wednesday afternoon, staring at a computer screen, feeling unfulfilled and asking, am I really using the gifts that God gave me in this job, in this life that I'm living right now? Or perhaps it's somebody who is facing a sudden and unexpected diagnosis, a chronic illness, and now all of a sudden, the future that you expected is not the future that's there. And we ask the question, what now? Calling is something we think about all through our lives at various stages. And often I find there's a lot of frustration and anxiety when people think about calling and vocation. And I think sometimes a great deal of the frustration that we feel about questions of calling comes from assumptions we make that may in fact be very misleading. So what I want to do today is think about five common myths about calling, things that we hear or believe that I think can be very misleading. And the first is that calling only refers to my career. Calling only refers to my career. Now, it's understandable in a way that we think in these sorts of terms, because even the language we use about calling often is connected to a particular job. I feel called to be a teacher, or I feel called to be a doctor. But when we think of it in those terms, what happens when we find ourselves in a situation where we're laid off? Or when we take some time off from work to start a family? Or when we approach retirement? Even when we leave to go home for the weekend, does God's calling on our life stop? Well, the answer is no. That there is no punch clock on God's purpose for your life. So I think it's a myth, a very common one, but I think a little bit misleading to think about calling only referring to my career. Number two is the idea that I should never do anything unless God specifically tells me. Many people feel that God has one right answer for every possible choice I might have to make in my life. And this can actually be, if they're waiting for God to direct their next step at every moment of their life, this can be a debilitating way to live. I mean, think about it. You're in your kitchen looking into the pantry, and you're saying, I see the Cocoa Puffs. I see the Raisin Bran. God, I know you have one right cereal for me this morning. Tell me what that cereal is. You know, of course, meanwhile, your family is reaching around you trying to get on with their day. Well, the reality is that God has given us a great deal of guidance in the Bible about how we might live faithfully and wisely. And God has given us brains, and God has given us hearts, and God has given us other people that we can think about what wisdom looks like. And it just may be that God gives us freedom to make good decisions and to live faithfully with the minds and the hearts that God has given, guided by the instructions in God's word. So I think it's also a myth that I should never do anything unless God specifically tells me. A third one, I can begin serving God just as soon as I get out of this stage of life. It is remarkable how often we put off what we know we should do right now. I'm going to start that diet on Monday. I'll spend more time with the kids just as soon as this one project is done at work. Or I'll begin serving God as soon as I'm done with this degree and I'm out of school, or as soon as I get that promotion. You know, if we're looking for one, we can always find a reason not to do God's will in the present. And yet, I want to encourage us that God cares about the present just as God cares about the future. So I think the notion that we have to wait to begin serving God until we're through this stage of life, I think is a third common myth about calling. Number four, following God's will means that I won't be fulfilled or won't be using my gifts. Following God's calling means I won't use my gifts or be fulfilled. When I was growing up, our church did what was called Missionary Sunday once per year. It was a wonderful time. It was something we always looked forward to because missionaries from throughout the world would come and they'd speak and tell their stories and show their pictures, talk about how God was working through them as they shared the good news and built buildings and built wells. And I remember being tremendously inspired by Missionary Sunday. But I have to admit, there was a part of me that was absolutely terrified by Missionary Sunday. And it was because of the picture of God's calling that I had. See, I believe that God was out to find the one person who was unready to do something, whose heart was just a little bit unsure, or the one person that was completely unprepared to do something and call that person to that task. And so I imagine God looking at that church on a Sunday morning and saying, let's see, there is the person. There's a heart who's not ready to go to Africa. I'm going to send that person to Africa. And it scared me. But the reality is, the Bible gives us a lot of vision of gifts that we have, of passions that God has given us, of needs that God has laid on our heart that God wants to use. God has given us these things because God wants to use them in a particular direction so that our life finds a common, focused purpose. So I think, again, this notion that following God means that I won't be able to use my gifts or that I won't be fulfilled is also a myth. Now, the next one actually points back in a different direction than number four. Because if number four is for people who believe that God would never want me to be fulfilled or never use my gifts, number five is people who would believe that God's calling never means that I will be led out of my comfort zone, that God is never going to challenge me, that God will never call me to something that I want, that I just am uncomfortable doing or letting go. Let me ask, how many here are parents? Just raise your hand if you're a parent. Okay, quite a few of you. If you're raising your hand right now, you know what the phrase selective hearing means, correct? You know this phrase? It's a fascinating thing that selective hearing means that certain words, when spoken by a parent's mouth, will hit this invisible force field before it ever reaches a child's ears. And distance has nothing to do with it. So, for example, you can be 5 feet from a child and say something like, please clean your room. And the words will just evaporate into the air before actually hitting the target of your child's consciousness. But then it gets really interesting, because there are other words that you can use that no distance, no extraneous noise can keep your child from hearing those words. You might be in one corner of a downstairs of your house and whisper the words ice cream, and a sleeping child upstairs in the opposite corner of the house will come bounding out of bed and come running downstairs expecting some ice cream. It's an amazing thing. Well, we laugh at this when it has to do with our kids. But how often do we do the same thing when God is laying something on our heart that we just don't want to hear? Maybe God is saying that there's a relationship that you need to reconcile. Or maybe God is saying there's some destructive pattern in your life that you need to let go. Are we going to let selective hearing get in the way of responding to that? Because we're operating with myth number 5, that God will never call me out of my comfort zone. Well, I think these 5 myths cause a great deal of frustration in people's lives. And I wonder, is there a different picture of calling, a different way of thinking about these things that might go a long way to easing that frustration? I believe that there is. And I think that the Bible offers a picture of calling that's very different. And I think this is good news, because I think it can bring considerable relief and considerable freedom. What I want to suggest is that there are actually different kinds of calling that we read about in the Bible, different ways that God might lead us forward. And the first of these is called general calling. General calling. This is a life lived for God, that God calls all of us to live for Him. And of course, the name general just means it's not a specific thing that God has called you to, or you to, or me. But general calling is for all of us. It's a calling that we share to live out every day in every circumstance. We don't have to wait till circumstances change. Right where we are, we can live out our general calling. As a college professor, there are 2 patterns of students that I often see. The first of these patterns is called the planner. The planner is a student, usually pre-med, who comes in with a list of all the classes that they want to take for 4 years. It's actually kind of an advisor's dream. It's really nice when there's this much planning that's been done. And this is a student who will take sort of week-by-week outline of everything that needs to be read, all the labs that need to be done, all the tasks that have to be fulfilled. And will even make an hour-by-hour schedule to make sure that they stay right on top of it. And the planner often is a very high-achieving person. But as time goes on and the anxiety about the future begins to mount, so can the pressure. And there's often a sense that in the anxiety about the future, this student tends to get irritated with a roommate or begins neglecting time with friends and family members, or maybe stops taking care of themselves, stops eating well and getting enough sleep. What's happening is that thinking too much about the future is affecting how this student is living in the present. Well, the other pattern is very different from the planner. This is a student that I call the undecided. The undecided comes to college thinking, well, maybe I'll major in music, you know, but I really didn't do very well in my music theory class. So maybe I'll major in sociology. But then after a while, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with that. So maybe I'll major in theology. Yeah, but I didn't really like that professor. And on and on and on this goes, until it comes to a point where a decision has to be made. And at that point, the same kind of panic that can set in with the planner can also set in with the undecided. The sense that I know God wants to use me. I know there's something that God has for me, and yet I can't figure out what it is. And this anxiety about the future, again, leads to all these sorts of unhealthy practices in the here and the now. So in both of these cases, you have concerns about what's down the road affecting our ability to live out our general calling in the present. Well, what is the heart of our general calling? What does a life lived for God look like? There are actually a lot of different places in the Bible that we might look to sort through this. But one of my favorites is a story where a lawyer approaches Jesus. We find this in Matthew 22. And the lawyer asks Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment? What is the one thing that I can focus on that will make sure that I'm doing the will of God?" And Jesus answers by giving actually two commandments. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." What an amazing summary of general calling. That we could list 1,000 different things that God wants us to do or not to do. But Jesus says, if every moment we would focus on what does it mean to love God with everything we are right now? What does it mean to love those around us? If we do that, we will be in God's will. We will be doing our general calling. So I think it's wonderful to think of love of God and the love of neighbor as a good sort of day-to-day practice to think about what it means to live out our general calling. Well, along with the general calling that we all share, the Bible also describes a particular purpose that God has in the life of each person. And this is what we would call missional calling. Missional calling. And here we're referring to the specific contribution that your life will make to God's kingdom. Each person, the Bible seems to suggest, has some specific contribution that they can make, a way that God has equipped them and wired them over their entire lives in many different ways to fulfill this particular purpose that God has given them. One place that we can look to find this is in 1 Corinthians 12. In verses 4 through 6, it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." The biggest thing to remember about a missional calling is that it's not a career. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful thing if you're in a job where you can live out your missional calling in some way. But missional calling is the particular way that God has wired you to serve God over the course of a lifetime, through your job, but also in your family life, in your recreation, in your volunteer service. Any place that you might invest your time and your energy is a place where you can live out your missional calling. Well, if we try to think about what an example of missional calling might look like, the number is probably endless, probably as many missional callings as there are people that God has created. But let me give you a few examples just to give you a sense of what a missional calling might look like. For example, one person might discern that my missional calling is to help children recognize their unique abilities. And maybe at one stage of life, that is lived out as a parent. And maybe at another stage of life, that's lived out as a teacher. And maybe at another stage of life, this person might have another job, so it's lived out as a volunteer at church in the children's program. Maybe even later in life, they live out that missional calling as a children's book author. Any number of ways that this person could live out that missional calling, but it's sustained over the course of a lifetime. Or maybe somebody else has a missional calling to make the gospel come alive for those who have given up on church. Maybe for another person, they find that their missional calling is to improve life for people with Down syndrome. And again, you can imagine these being lived out in many different contexts as these people move throughout their lives. My friend Zach is a pastor now. He came to college a little over a decade ago. Zach had grown up in a Christian family, and it was a family that really was deeply involved in working for God's justice. And he came to college charged up to change the world for God. So when he got to campus, he joined every possible organization and group and advocacy club on campus serving just about any cause you can imagine. Zach wanted to change the world by doing everything he could. And the interesting thing is, he found that within a very few months, he was exhausted, and he felt that he was spread so thin that he actually was not doing much good in any of these areas. And so Zach, I remember very clearly, took a step back, and he tried to work through and discern what is the one area that God has really ignited in my heart. And he looked at some of the areas of involvement that he had, and he found that his heart kept coming back to people who had been marginalized or left out by society, particularly people in a situation of homelessness. And he found that this is really the missional calling that God has equipped him to fulfill, that he would share God's love, embody God's love for people that society has forgotten about. And he focused his attention there for the rest of his college career. And then after he graduated, Zach has continued to live out that calling in different jobs in different ways. Currently, he's pastor of a church in Seattle that really emphasizes ministry to people on the margins of society. So missional calling is the place where your unique gifts, your loves, and the particular needs in the world that God has placed on your heart all come together. And if you find that, you can find a direction for the purpose of your life. Well, the third kind of calling is a little bit different than missional calling. This is what we often call direct calling. Direct calling is a clear calling from God to a specific task. It's a way of recognizing that not everybody is going to experience this, at least not at every particular stage of life. But it's recognizing that God may call us to something that is outside of our comfort zone, a task or something that we are called to address in our lives. Now, it's different from missional calling in the sense that a direct calling may not include or use our gifts. It may not be something that we even really want to do. And there's a sense in which everybody, I think, has a missional calling. Not everybody has a direct calling at every stage of their life. We see lots of examples of direct calling in the Bible, but one of my favorite is in Exodus 3 and 4, where Moses is called by God. Now, at this stage of his life, Moses had left Egypt, where he had grown up, and he was in a kind of exile. And he was living with his father-in-law and tending his father-in-law's flock. And it's interesting to me that he wasn't out seeking God's calling in his life. He was actually taking care of sheep. But God came to him and appeared through a burning bush and said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people out of captivity. And Moses did not want to do it. So he began thinking through every excuse and laying those before God, every possible excuse. And in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, we see one of these excuses that Moses makes. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Now, at this moment, we might think that God might step in and say, well, there, Moses, you're being too hard on yourself. You're actually a pretty good speaker. But God doesn't say that. In fact, by implication, God kind of says, you know, you're right, you're not that great a speaker, Moses. But his response is fascinating. The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." Where God has called Moses, God promised he would be with him and empower him to do that task. This is the key thing to remember about direct calling. Not everybody is going to have one, and you don't have to go looking for one. If God has a particular task, if God has a particular area for you to address in your life, God will get through to you. God will find you, just like God found Moses. And it's really encouraging to remember that God will equip exactly where God has called, just as we see in Exodus. So we have these three kinds of calling that are outlined in the Bible's witness. So what difference might this make in our lives? Here we come to kind of the so what question. And I think there are four takeaways that I would want to suggest in terms of bringing these three different kinds of calling into our lives. And the first is to remember that you can serve God right where you are by living out the general calling that we all share. You can serve God right where you are by living out the general calling that we all share. It's so good to remember that we don't have to wait until our circumstances change before we can begin serving God. That as we're changing those diapers, or staring at that spreadsheet in the office, or facing a chronic illness, that right where we are, God's will is right in front of us. That if we focus on loving God with all we are, focusing on loving others around us, asking, "What do you have for me in this moment?" we can be in God's will. It's really interesting how this gets expressed in 1 Thessalonians. This is in chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say that God's will for you is to go to that city, or to take that job, or to marry that person. God's will is a life of rejoicing, a life immersed in prayer, a life of thankfulness to what God has brought into our life. And the biggest area of frustration that I see in the area of calling is when people are expecting God to write out in the sky every step of the future, and they're just not seeing that. But God's will for the present lies right in front of us. There's an author named Jerry Sitzer, and he has a book called The Will of God as a Way of Life. And I love the way he says this in that book. Sitzer writes, we simply do not need to worry about the terrifying possibility that we might miss God's will for our lives. We need to do what we already know in the present. The choices we make every day, to love a spouse after an argument, to treat an unkind coworker with respect, to serve food at a soup kitchen, these determine whether or not we are doing the will of God. So we can serve God right where we are. A second takeaway, that we can be ready to obey if and when God gives us a direct calling. We can remember that not everybody's going to have a direct calling. But if you do, there's really not much else to say. Obedience is the next right step in those moments when we feel God tugging on our heart, and it's unmistakable. Obedience is the way forward. But if we don't sense a direct calling, if there's a time in our life where we're just not saying God, or we're not sensing God saying, go here or go there, then there is a freedom. God has given us a freedom to make good, wise choices, seeking God's kingdom first. And if we're in that situation, if we don't sense a direct calling for our life at that particular stage, how then might I find the particular purpose that God has for my life? That comes to our third takeaway, that you can begin to discover your missional calling. You can begin to discover your missional calling. This is an area classically known as discernment, where we gather together people who are close to us and prayerfully, thoughtfully, try to figure out how God has equipped us to serve God over the long haul. And this is a process that can take some time. It's not something to rush through. And I think it should be immersed in a lot of prayer, and it should involve people who have known you a long time, but also people who maybe have known you in this stage of life, because often you'll get very interesting feedback from both of those. But this is an opportunity to work through what am I good at? What are the passions that God has given me? What are the needs that God has laid on my heart? And as you see the pattern emerge, you'll begin to get a sense of what your missional calling looks like. Once you have this, we come to our fourth takeaway, that we can begin to align your life
more closely with your missional calling. This doesn't necessarily mean changing the circumstances we're in, at least not at first. It can mean looking for ways, maybe even small ways, to give expression to that purpose right where we are, right in the circumstances we find ourselves. But then when we get to a place where a major life decision or choice comes up, well, then we can do so with our missional calling in mind. The good news here is that there is freedom rather than frustration in God's calling. And we can remember that the God who has called us will be with us every step of the way, equipping us to do God's will now and in the future. Let's close with a prayer.